Say, I have eyes to see.
I have ears to hear.
My spirit is perceiving. You're on my case. Hallelujah. Okay. The decade of the 80s is declared the decade of the mouth. So 5780 started 10 years of the mouth being the tool that God will use. You'll find in Luke 6:45, there's a word there that will help to see your heart. And the number 3 is actually visible as the third person of the Godhead. John 2:22 confirms Holy Spirit being in control. John 14:26 speaks about the three persons in Father, in God. Then in Acts 2:4, it speaks they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, when I'm full of the Holy Spirit, He's going to have more and more authority to use my being, not to transfer into letting my soul do whatever it wants. If you look at Peter in Acts chapter 1 and 2, he's a totally different person. He was scared in the Garden of Gethsemane. Then he was bold and brassy and tried to literally control the issue by taking out his sword and literally chopping off the ear of the guy who's trying to arrest Jesus. And Jesus is not responding like him. So you've got a very beautiful picture there of a man under the anointing of his soul versus the man, Jesus, fully submissive to Papa's decision that this has got to be. So when you and I look at Jesus willingly giving himself up, it's because he's had a word from Holy Spirit not to fight back, not to resist. This is a test that's been designed by Papa, and I'm going to what? Submit. Now, it's totally out of character for what he did in the past. So Peter blows up. The others, I don't know where they got, because we don't know. But by the fruit of their choices to run, we know they all went into fear. In a sense, because the only one that really stuck by is John. Peter got nosy and went and investigated. Because really, he's just, wait a minute. Every time that the authorities were trying to bring some kind of legalism on him, he responded to the authorities or he disappeared. How come he didn't disappear this time? Do you ever think about why he never disappeared like the other times? 3.5 years they've been with him. How many times do you see him arrested? Zero. Right? So he has now got a word from Papa that he's about to face the biggest trial of his entire journey in the earth. And he's told, don't resist. Peter's in the carnal man, responding like you and I. I'm going to defend him. I'm going to protect you. I'll never deny you. How many times? I'll never. How many of you have ever heard, I'll never come out of your mouth? Yeah. See, if you can relate to Peter in the flesh with a carnal mind, you can then relate to your spirit being in full control. Now, fast forward. Peter then goes and literally runs back to Galilee, in a sense. Okay? I don't think he could hang out. John did. And undoubtedly, he was given the grace. But Jesus had already warned Peter, I have prayed that your faith will not weaken. In other words, I already know what you're going to go through. You won't like it, but you're going to make it because I prayed for you. One man praying causes what? A change in the other. One person interceding causes a change in the other. So, if we are like the Son of God and we have His Spirit in us, we can do what? The same things that He did. And letting our spirit rule, you see signs along the way of your life of how much your soul rules and how much of your spirit rules. Okay? So, Acts 2:4, they were filled, meaning they had room for more of the spirit within them. 2 Peter 1 and 2 verifies and confirms, filled with the Holy Spirit. Are we filled? No, we're not. We have a deposit. We have a deposit. If you decide to buy a new home, you're going to have to put a 20% deposit. Is the house paid for and in your name by that point? No, it belongs to whoever has the mortgage. They won't send you the contract until it's what? Why? Car is the same thing. Whatever you buy on time, okay, you get a deposit. Same thing with your spirit. A deposit comes. Now, the lie says, or the liar says, ha! You should be just like Jesus. No! Maybe you're just like Peter, flipping back and forth. Back and forth, because you're going to see yourself. That's what Holy Spirit does. He makes us see ourselves. Now, the years of the mouth means 10 years of changing our vocabulary. Instead of beating yourself up and being angry with yourself, which is going to what? Be the works of darkness. And you're joining all the critics. Because the critical spirits are going to tell you everything you've ever done wrong. And they got a pretty good list of them. So, if you need change, you're going to need change by His grace alone. It's going to be a work of His Spirit working in you and me to take us into another area where we will be fully alive in Christ. And if you look at the book of Acts, you'll see that there were many times that they went back and prayed and they were filled again. They needed more. So I remember years ago when I was part of the Charismatic Renewal, we had this beautiful priest that loved the Lord, and he said, I'm going to show you something. Well, this is at one of the leaders' meeting, probably up in Amherst, I think. But that's a few years back, obviously. And he said, I want you to look. I've put a glass on the table. And then he put a little bit of water at the bottom. And the second glass, he put half. Third glass, he put three quarters. And the fourth glass was full. Okay? He said, did you ever wonder why when you get a deposit of that liquid river that God says it's a river of life, it's a river of grace, it's a river of love, okay? The first glass is you when you first get filled. You know why he can't fill anymore? Because you're in the way. Your soul is in the way. Some dark forces are operating and using you and me. So that's as much as he can give you because you feel full. But as you go forward in life, 3 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years, all of a sudden now you've gotten rid of a few negative forces and you've got rid of a little bit of self and you're willing to submit, then he'll pour the next infilling and you'll feel half full again. But there's because there's no more room because the other stuff is occupying the balance. And go on to number 3, and go on to number 4. He can't fill you all the way when you're still in control. So we are a work in progress. We're not where we used to be, but we're greater in obedience to him than we were yesterday. So it's not a bad word. It's just it gives you a mental picture of the progression of more and more of him and less of me. John the Baptist had that word, right? How did he live it? The same way you and me. And John the Baptist was the greatest of all the previous prophets. And then the scripture says, as great as John the Baptist was in the old covenant, because of the new covenant, you and I are greater than John. Reflect on that now. Say, you and I.
We are greater
than John the Baptist because of the fullness of the anointing.
That's available to us
as our soul is breaking,
and my mouth sometimes squawks
and complains. I'm just putting off the blessing that's supposed to happen if I submit a little more. Hallelujah. I need your infilling, Holy Spirit. And you filled the apostles. And I'm jealous. I want more. Now, what is the actual job of Holy Spirit from God's perspective? Why did he send his Spirit into us? There's a purpose. Anybody got an idea? Why?
He's the teacher. He's the helper. He's the comforter.
Yeah. Okay. So if he's doing all the comforting and the helping and so on and so forth, what's going to be the end result of his workmanship?
You're a new person.
Maturity. You were a new person the minute you accepted Jesus. That's your spirit under the anointing of light and fire and the living water. So you are that new creation. That is already an established reality. But is your soul in full submission? And we're all in that construction process. Okay? So his goal is to bring us into maturity. When we are mature sons, we will do the same work that the mature son is doing now. And what he did for 3.5 years. That's a sobering thought. Okay? That's a reality check that I remember Royal bringing out that reality that Daniel said, we will be sons of light. Well, sons of light don't have any darkness left in them. These are the ones that will be qualified to do the works of the Anointed One. Okay? Johnny Enlow gave quite a message the other day about why a lot of these that are struggling are walking away. They're discouraged. They're part-time servants, if that makes sense. They are focused on themselves. Did anybody listen to John Ramirez this past week? Okay. Well, I listened to one Friday, and he was ministering at Rock Church, which I believe is in Virginia Beach area. And he was very bold, is the best word I guess I'm looking for. Very, very bold at the laziness in the churches. Okay? Because he's been ministering now as an evangelist after being 25 years of witchcraft. Okay? And so when he pointed some of that out, I had about half of the book written. And when you read Rabbi Jonathan Kahn's book, it awakens you to what is in progress. Now, I got about three quarters of it done. And I did get a word from the other ministry that I submitted to. And we will be getting 8 one-hour sessions with Jonathan, which add to the book with visuals that you'll be able to identify with. And so my plan is that we will have an hour right on here to watch it together, to get a real picture of what actually has been taking place in our country and how the demon spirits are taking over. Because Holy Ghost is sitting and waiting to activate you and me in obedience. So, I know it's been shipped because they sent me a message, so that should be here in another few days. And so, again, what are we after? We're after identifying darkness, what it's doing, how it's functioning, and I'm looking at what Holy Spirit has been pushing me into, is to, again, recognize what you and I have. Now, are we supposed to start chopping ears off? I don't think so. How many listened to the news this morning? Anybody listened to? Okay. Well, I had my coffee and my breakfast, and I was pressed to have my breakfast watching Fox and Friends. I kind of like the way they operate, and at least on Fox News, you get a little bit of truth. Sometimes it's mixture, but a little bit of truth. Well, the three of them that are the guests, when I turned it on, they've got a brand new report about a young man. I would say he's in his 40s or late 30s, and he has 7 children with his wife, and they are Roman Catholic. And they've been fighting the abortion stuff and picketing with his 12-year-old son in different places in their region. And this week, 25 FBI agents with guns drawn walked into the house at 7 a.m. in front of all the children and his wife, and at gunpoint took him out of the house. And of course, the children are screaming. The mother is in brokenness. And I mean, it's total mayhem. And then the husband said, "Please, honey, would you get me my rosary beads?" And they never gave her the time to go and get his rosary beads. And if you've never been to the Roman Catholic background, it's a place of comfort and connecting with the Lord. All right? I'm not going to say any more because of a lot of opinions. The bottom line is they didn't allow her to bring it to him, even in the car. Okay? So they gave that report and they said, Mike Lindell. They took his phone away in the middle of a town on his way home from vacation. What is that saying? So I'm not trying to criticize. I'm just trying to bring some facts. Okay? Now, most Christians want to take out their sword. And I listen in between the words, you know, that they're giving. And they want to chop off a few ears. Are you catching on? Is the Holy Spirit fully in control? No, but we're watching Gestapo-type situations right here in the United States of America because you approve for life. And then my wife, I backed it up when Irene got up so she could listen to it. She says, "Well, I heard something else," she says, "this week." I said, "Okay, I'm all ears." She says, "There are now some accusing that when you have a mother that has an ultrasound and they see and hear the heartbeat, that the machine is not right." They're using the same strategy that we are saying, many are saying, I should say, that the election machinery is not well. I'm trying to be nice. But now they're using that same tool, saying, "Well, that's not really a heartbeat. Something is wrong with the machine." What am I saying to you? I'm saying to you that as we mature, our reactions are not going to be chopping off ears. Our reaction is to overcome evil with good. So we need to intercede for these that are blind as the Lord leads. When I look at what Holy Spirit has done, and I see sometimes what Holy Spirit wants us to see, we will be changed as we go forward in obedience. So I want to take you to Romans chapter 14. In the Passion Translation. Romans 14. Unity in the midst of diversity. That's chapter 14, verse 1. Offer an open hand of fellowship to welcome every true believer, even though their faith may be weak and immature. So Paul is dealing what I believe is we are going to be dealing. There's a level of maturity in some of you that is different than the other. So be careful, because Paul is giving us a warning. And refuse to engage in debates with them concerning nothing more than opinions. How many know opinions comes from reasoning? If people are living in a place of reasoning and you give them a word from the Lord, what are they going to do? They're going to reason it out. Okay? So, for example, One believer has no problem with eating all kinds of food, but another with weaker faith will eat only vegetables. And of course, you know whose face showed up. Okay? The one who eats freely shouldn't judge, should not judge, get it? Or look down on the one who eats only vegetables. And the vegetarian must not judge and look down on the one who eats everything. Remember, God has welcomed him and taken him as his partner. Don't you love that part? That takes your head out of the way. It takes your soul out of the way. It puts your spirit back into the box where it should be. Not criticizing those that are different than you or have a weakness that they're still struggling with. Say ouch. Did you notice how quickly we can relate to that word? All right. Verse 4. Who do you think you are to sit in judgment of someone else's household servant? Now, isn't that a cool way of looking at this? Household servant. There's a footnote. We are all household servants in the body of Christ. Woo-hoo! We are what? All household servants in the body of Christ. For we each belong to him. When believers begin to judge other believers over our opinion or preferences, we are taking the role that belongs only to Jesus. How many can say ouch? How much do you and I see this operating in ourselves first? His own master is the one to evaluate whether he succeeds or fails. And God's servant will succeed, for God's power supports them and enables them to stand. In other words, it's Holy Spirit's grace, okay, that enables them to stand. So that to me is good news. 5. In the same way, one person regards a certain day as more sacred than another, and another person regards them all alike. There is nothing wrong with having different personal convictions about such matters. For the person who observes one day as especially sacred does it to honor the Lord. And the same is true regarding what a person eats. The one who eats everything eats to honor the Lord, because he gives thanks to God, and the one who has a special diet does it to honor the Lord. And he also gives thanks to God. No one lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. While we live, we must live for our master, and in death, we must bring honor to him. So dead or alive, we belong to our master. For this very reason, the Anointed One died and was brought back to life again, so that he could become the Lord God over both the dead and the living. Why would you judge your brother or sister because despising them for what they eat or don't eat? For we each will have our turn to stand before God's judgment seat, just as it is written. As surely as I am the living God, I tell you, every knee will bow before me, and every tongue will confess the truth and glorify me. Therefore, each one must answer for himself and give a personal account of his own life before God. Walking in love is going to be a wee bit more dangerous. You ready? Say, we're going to walk in love. So stop being critical and condemning of other believers, but instead determine to never deliberately cause a brother or sister to stumble and fall because of your actions. I know, and I am convinced by personal revelation for the Lord Jesus, that there is nothing wrong with eating any food. But to the one who considered it to be unclean, it is unacceptable. If your brother or sister is offended because you insist on eating what you want, it is no longer love that rules your conduct. Why would you wound someone for whom the Messiah gave his life? Why would you wound someone for whom the Messiah gave his life? Just so you can eat what you want? Or I'll add, to justify yourself. Which is, again, whenever I justify myself, I'm acting in pride. You can say ouch. Okay? So don't give people the opportunity to slander what you know to be good. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of rules about food and drink, but it is in the realm of the Holy Spirit. Filled with righteousness, peace, and joy, serving the Anointed One by walking in these kingdom realities pleases God and earns the respect of others. So then, make it your top priority to live a life of peace with harmony in your relationships, eagerly seeking to strengthen and encourage one another. Stop ruining the work of God by insisting on your own opinion about food. You can eat anything you want, but it is wrong to deliberately cause someone to be offended over what you eat. Consider it an act of love to refrain from eating meat or drinking wine or doing anything else that would cause a fellow believer to be offended or tempted to be weakened in his faith. In other words, you're not to point out their weakness. Keep the conviction you have about these matters between yourself and God. And don't impose them upon others. You'll be happy when you don't judge yourself in doing what your conscience approves. Your conscience, by the way, is an act of your spirit. It is actually your conscience that actually is your spirit man checking in on you. Okay? But the one who has misgivings feels miserable. If he eats meat because he doubts and doesn't eat in faith, for anything we do that doesn't spring from faith is definitely sinful. Did you have enough? Say, Holy Spirit, I'm trying to digest. Because there's a lot of food here. And it is very spicy. I want to digest it all. Because you're in the control room.
And I'm learning
that you are expecting me to mature. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to you, Jesus. Shabbat o sarotoriya kibarotona mahasham.